Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says this, "Patience is better than power, and controlling one's emotions than capturing a city." Started a new series last week and talked about live like Jesus mentally. This week I want to talk to you about living like Jesus emotionally, who kept his emotions always in control. He demonstrated that by the way that he lived. Even when he was angry with those who were profiting rather than praying in the temple, it was not unrighteous anger, but it was righteous anger that he expressed before God. And no one can say Jesus was not a passionate person. If you know anything about Jesus' last days before he was crucified, Jesus lived with a passion. What was his one passion that he lived with? To do the will of the Father. He says, "My food is to do him who sent me and to accomplish his purpose." That was his expression of living with an emotional passion. His love for God was not sustained. You know, I think one of the hardest things for us is to control our emotions. I don't know about you, but I feel that for myself. There are so many things that can arise, and I expect them, and I still respond emotionally, and things that catch me off guard, and I respond to those emotionally, and in a way that most of the time is not pleasing to the Lord. It's not living like Jesus. I don't know if you can identify, but what comes to your mind when your boss informs you that they are going to have a layoff and you're one of them? It's the first thing that comes to your mind. When your spouse says he or she wants a divorce. When your child says to you, "I hate you." When you encounter the loss of a loved one, when you hear your child tell you of his or her experience being bullied at school or on the playground or whatever it is, when inflation rises, when war is on the horizon, when the doctor says you have a terminal illness or tells you that your spouse has a terminal illness or that your child has a terminal illness. How do you respond to that? Probably like most of us, we respond emotionally. We are hurt by that reality. We are challenged by that. It's a time of crisis in our life, in the life of our family. We respond with great passion. We respond a lot of times in three ways that I want to talk to you about. The first one is we respond with fear. We're going to talk about how to overcome fear by knowing who you are in Christ. We're going to talk about the second one, when we begin to worry. We overcome worry by trusting in Christ. And then the third thing we're going to talk about together is we overcome anger by abiding in Christ. We overcome anger by abiding in Christ. So I want to spend a few minutes talking about this first one. We overcome fear by knowing who we are in Christ. Oswald Chambers says, God expects his children to be so confident in him that in any crisis they are the reliable ones. Are you that person? Are you reliable to your family, to your spouse, to someone else? When they're going through a crisis, are you the person that seeks the Lord, turns them to the Lord's face? You and I overcome the fears that we have in life by knowing who we are in Christ. John chapter 19, verse 10. It's when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you and the authority to crucify you?" That's what Pilate said to Jesus. And Jesus' response was this: "You would have no authority over me at all if it hadn't been given you from above." This is why I'm being handed over. What was Jesus confident about in making that statement? Why could he say to the person who had the power to crucify him or the power to release him, why could he say to him, "You have no authority over me"? Because, like Jesus had said to his disciples, "I have been given all authority." We're confident when we have authority, aren't we? We're confident that we can overcome anything when we have the authority. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we begin to think about the reality of what is facing us and the pressure of the moment and forget our authority in Christ. Not that we would say, "Hey, I got the power, I can do whatever I want to do." But when you and I call upon God and seek the authority that he has given us in the person of Christ, we begin to see strongholds broken down. We begin to see things that we didn't think were possible, but God made possible by his handiwork. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul said to him, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity." You might have in your translation a spirit of fear. But of what? Power, love, and discipline. God has given that to us. That is who we are in Christ, a person who has spiritual authority over the evil one, over people and circumstances in our life. God has given us that. And he has given us the ability to cry out to him and to exercise the authority that he has given to us. But it only comes from being in Christ. You remember when Peter and John were standing before the religious leaders who had brought them in because they had taken a lame man and made him whole? Do you remember what they said after they had been threatened, harassed? They said in that moment, they said, "Whether it is right for us to heed your warning, you make that decision, but we cannot speaking We cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and what we have heard. Now, do you realize this was Peter who was afraid of a servant girl telling on him? That's the same Peter. This is the same person, but what had happened in his life? Now he had the authority of Jesus to speak. Even though the religious leaders had great power, and they had power that had been given by people to them to take Peter and John out. But Peter and John were confident because God was their authority. How in the world did Daniel... Can you just think about that for a moment? What would it be like to be the person of Daniel, know that you were going to go in the lion's den? Would you just be shaking? Would you be wringing your hands? Or would there be a confidence that God is in charge of this? That God has the authority to even shut the mouths of lions if necessary in that moment. It's so easy for us to forget the power that is available through the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. God has given that to us, and folks, it's our job to use it. We need to learn how to overcome that emotion of fear by turning our attention to God, by turning our focus on what He can do, by turning our attention to who we are in Christ Jesus. He has not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, a spirit of cowardice. He has given us power and love. You know, they tell us that fear is false evidence appearing real. So many times you and I can work ourselves into a frenzy of fear by what? Allowing our mind to run rampant, to run uncontrolled. But what did we learn last week? We have the mind of Christ. We have been given the opportunity to think about our circumstances, about our crisis situations, about the crisis situations of those we love, not with this frenzy, but with confidence. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know what the end is going to be, as we sung in the song. But when my hand is in your hand, I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. I have made you my refuge. How many times in the Psalms? Just look for that one phrase. God, you are my refuge. And be amazed at how God has given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to what? Turn to Him. Put our confidence in what He can do. So how is it that we deal with our unexpected fears? How is it that we deal with our expected fears? Some of you here today may be in that situation. You may be facing a fear that you know is coming. Or you may be a person here who's facing a fear you don't know is coming. You don't even know enough to be fearful. That may be true of me. How am I going to handle that? How am I going to work through that? Well, the only way that we can do it with confidence is to allow Jesus, through his power, through his authority, to control our emotions. To give us the ability to turn our face toward him, to look at our problems from his perspective. Jesus was never afraid. Even when he was on the cross, even when he was in the garden praying and asking God to deliver him, Jesus was not afraid. He was not filled with fear. He was filled with hope because he knew the Father. And he knew what the Father could do. The second emotion that is so prevalent among us is the issue of worry. We worry about so many things. We spend our time worrying about things that never happen, never come to pass. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, in his great sermon, he said this, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to your lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, here he was referring to those who don't believe. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What do we do instead? What is the opposite of being worried about these things? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the basic necessities of life, he is going to provide for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Do you find yourself being overcome by worry? Are you an anxious person who, in your life, you struggle sometimes working yourself up, worried about what's going to happen or what will transpire? Thomas Carlyle was a man who was anxious and he was serious. He was a searching type of person. He had a soundproof room built in his London residence so he could work in unbroken peace. However, he had a neighbor who had a rooster that crowed rather vigorously during early morning. Carlyle complained to the owner about it, whereupon the neighbor replied that the rooster crowed only 3 or 4 times at most. But Carlyle said, "If you only knew what I suffer waiting for that cock to crow. Many of us are harassed by things we create in our mind, by things other people create, by things our circumstances tell us. And we are like him. We allow ourselves to be harassed by that worry. Am I going to go to heaven when I die? How many years am I going to live? Am I going to have enough money to take care of my family? What's this lump? What is going on when we allow worry to harass us? When we allow that to happen, we are not putting our confidence in Christ, in God. We are looking at things from our perspective, not from his. And we are allowing those things to hinder us from being all that God wants for us to be. How do you handle your worry? I mean, you think about it. How do you handle your worry? You allow it to fester? You allow it to build up? Or do you take that thought, that worry, that emotion, take it captive and allow Christ in you to control that, to allow you the ability to do what you cannot do in your flesh, but what he has given us the power to do in the Spirit? Are you allowing the fruit of the Spirit to come into your life and to transform you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you allowing those things to filter through your mind as you face the challenges of this life? Jesus did over and over again. He proved it throughout the testimony of the Gospels. We know that Jesus was not afraid. I mean, you think about it for just a moment. Jesus, on one occasion, was asleep in a boat, and it was storming all around him. It was a tiny boat from our standards today. Very simple, but he was not afraid. Why? Because he had the authority that was given to him by the Father to live out his life here worry-free. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? I'm looking forward to the day where I don't have to do that anymore, where my mind doesn't have to chase that rabbit. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Man, that is huge. Don't worry about anything. In everything, through prayer and petition, through thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what does he promise? The peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart, that place of emotions, will guard your heart, your mind. How does that happen? In Christ Jesus. That's how you and I control our emotions. When we are in Christ Jesus, we see things from his perspective. We see our struggles, our problems, our difficulties from His viewpoint. We wear the glasses of Jesus, so to speak. And we see very clearly what is ahead of us. The third thing I want to share with you, that is a negative emotion that we can have many times, is anger. Overcome anger. How do we do that? We overcome anger by abiding in Christ. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man," catch this phrase, "the anger of people," that's what it's saying there, "the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Do you feel like sometimes you're justified in your anger? Do you feel like at times you try to justify getting angry? You're getting angry for something that was done to your child, something that was done to your spouse. Or you're getting angry because you stopped at a four-way stop and that person went ahead of you. It was my turn. How could you go ahead of me? Do you feel that sometimes? Do you feel that emotion rising up in you? And you would speak things that are unspeakable. Maybe to a loved one, maybe to a spouse, maybe to a stranger, maybe to your friend. Titus 3:1 says, "Remind them to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." Listen to this. "To slander no one, to avoid fighting, to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people." Even me. To all people, we are to show ourselves what? Like Christ to them. The world is not seeing Christ sometimes because we're not showing the world Him. We're not demonstrating what it's like to be a believer. Titus goes on to say, "For we too were once," listen to this, "foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another." We have all been there before. So certainly true of us without Christ, when we were just living on our own. You say, "Hey, I was a good person." That's not what God says. God says all of us are sinners. All of us have turned from His plan and chosen our own. All of us have had times when we are probably angry with God. "Well, why did you allow this to happen? How could you allow this to happen?" We might say to Him, "Here, I was living my best life and you messed it up." So many times it's easy in that moment to become very angry about what's going on in my life. What's happening with my circumstances? And what's happening around me. I don't know about you, but in this day and time, it's easy to get mad at our government. It's easy to get angry. When we see injustice and things happening that we don't like or we don't agree with, it's easy for us to get angry. But could it be that God is calling us when we face those inner turmoil situations to cry out to Him? The way you and I deal with anger in our life is by remaining in Christ. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 6 says, Jesus was telling His disciples then, and He's telling us now, remain in Me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in Me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without Me. You can do nothing without Me. So when you and I are looking to deal with that horrible emotion, that negative emotion of fear, anger, let us get close to Jesus, because in doing so, He is going to give us the strength. He is going to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit that we mentioned earlier. He's going to allow us, even though we're still in the flesh, even though we see each other in the flesh, He's going to give us the ability to spiritually overcome what our flesh would tell us to do initially. Our first response. You imagine having as your first response to a challenging situation, God, I need your help. Would that change things? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. When we turn our eyes on Jesus. You know, one of the things when I found out that I had cancer, early on in that journey, I heard a song that we've sung here. it's called Wide Open. It's sung by North Point Worship. Listen to the words of it. It says, no height, nor depth, nor life, or final breath could ever separate us from your love. No failure, no mistake, no loneliness or pain could ever separate us from your love. Could ever separate us from your love. On the other side, this is the chorus, on the other side of everything I'm afraid of, on the other side of everything I'm afraid of, you are standing with your arms wide open. Wide open, even in my deepest doubts and wonders, you are standing with your arms wide open. I'm healed. I'm made strong. I'm found where I belong. Forever, I'm alive now in your love. I'm changed, unchanged, chained by your amazing grace. Forever, I'm alive now in your love. If I make my bed in darkness, if I try my best to hide, you know the farthest ocean. You give the morning its light. I can't run from your presence. There's no place that far. So I run to you, my Savior. There's safety in your arms. There's safety in your arms. You and I have been given the gift, not only of the mind of Christ, but because Christ ascended to the Father, He gave us another helper. He gave us the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God to help us live this life, not as the world lives, but as Jesus Himself lived it. Can you imagine what a church would be like if there were many Christ-like individuals? You know, we used to wear an armband or bracelet. What would Jesus do? WWJD? What would Jesus do as He looks at your crisis? That in that moment, would He do it like you are? Or would He do it like He knows is right? Will you allow Him, by your power, to come in and to do something supernatural in your life and give you the ability to live like Him emotionally? That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself, that I would allow Him to do that.